Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
AIDS helps put me in control.
There's no stimulant in AIDS that could make you nervous. Try peanut butter AIDS.
Come on! What up?
My brother has his wife on all fours behind the couch.
Wow.
And sometimes someone
wow.
is stealing the pillows.
Who's winning? What is occurring?
Come on, you dumbass. Eat me. Hey, we got a new drop today, guys. Did you catch it?
Oh, My brother has his wife on all fours behind the couch. By the way, that was 100% true. He posted it on Instagram and Twitter. You can see it.
That's fantastic. All right, we're ready to take calls. You guys ready?
I think we are.
Hey, welcome to Primetime. It is end of days because we're taking calls.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't call 250-1080.
We'll see how long this lasts.
A couple people were on hold
Hello?
And they dropped.
Anonymous, Hello? You're on the air.
Okay, this is Mr. Anonymous.
Yeah.
And, you know, my favorite part of the show by far is when you guys talk about farts and your bathroom habits and everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I remember one time a few weeks ago when you guys were speaking about the toilet paper crisis and mm-hmm. how each of you may or may not wipe. Now, I noticed
we all wipe.
Kind of went through really quick when Isaac let it be known to all the Portland metro area and who knows who's all listening worldwide mm-hmm. that he actually wipes from the front. Mike was actually mortified, but he kind of brushed it off, and then you guys just went to break. So I'd like to know.
That's true.
And I think everybody would like to know, all three of you.
Yeah.
Back wipers or front wipers?
Yeah.
And, Isaac could expound on that a little bit more. I
okay.
think he'd really like to hear about that.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Anonymous.
You.
Now, that is a good call.
That
I think he's
call.
He's right about that,
because
and we did gloss over it.
You said that you reach
I go
from
in
the front.
Yeah. Yes,
whereas
I do.
I think most people reach behind.
Do they?
Yes.
Because I find the reach from behind hard. I'm not very limber.
We did
but
kind of
I do
gloss
think
over it. I did. I was like,
you
what?
Did gloss over that. And I do think that that is the wrong way. I'll say this. I do think that's the wrong way to do it.
Well, considering your schwanz is in the way.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a big one. But that's why.
I don't think
why.
That's true. But we already have proof of it not being that.
That's why. Very small one.
It's your own words.
Yeah. So what are you, front?
Okay, so here's a...
Let's talk about your wiping techniques.
For most of my life, I was a side leaner, right? Like I'd
a side guy.
I would do a two-wheel Dukes of Hazzard.
But you
sort
break
of thing.
The toilet.
And you would reach from the side?
And I'd reach from... it was a side-back sort of thing.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I was a leaner.
Fascinating and wrong.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know what would happen more often than not, way too often, especially being a large individual... I was breaking a lot of toilet seats. And after I'm going to say about the fourth one in, let's say, like a 2 year span, my wife put a stop to it. She was like, we're done. We're done with this. And she was like, she did. She like was like, we're not doing this anymore. And I did.
Did she coach you through wiping correctly?
She was like, why don't you just go from the front? And I was like, I'm not going from the front. I'm like, what sort of weird sorcery is this? I'm going to get stuff everywhere. And she did. And so I tried going from the front for her. And I'm going to say I've been converted. I'm with Rob. I go fronties.
That is so strange.
Such an upset. Why is that so strange?
Well, it's the same thing when, like, we found out that people were stand-up wipers versus sit-down wipers.
No, not even remotely the same.
No, stand-up not wipers. Not even remotely. See, that's the most disturbing thing in the world.
You're an idiot.
You two were not stand-up wipers, so you were like, oh my God, people stand up.
But that's totally different.
Why are you reaching under the front to wipe? I don't understand.
Because it's easier.
I will say that once I discovered...
You just lift and you reach back.
No.
Once I discovered showing frontsies, I'm a little upset that I didn't do it before that. The frontsies is the way to go.
It is the way to go. It's easier.
Look, and I've done both, right? I mean, I had most of my life, I was a sidesies, backsies, and then I changed. I changed and I've been converted. I've
Guys,
seen the light.
This is exactly the same as stand-up wiping.
No, it
just
isn't.
Because
no.
You were the stand-up wipers in this case does not mean it's not the same.
You're wrong. No. You're so wrong. James Mountain. I hope that's your name. That's a great name.
Yeah, Jesus. Yes, it is. Boy, I'm in the club.
Yes, Bobby. You are. You're on the air. You're on the air. Say something cool. We're going to hang up on you.
Go Kansas City Royals for you, Rob, and go Chinese for you. But more importantly, so I am assuming on the front wipe, you're doing an instant drop to the toilet. How are you going to do the check? Because if you come back through the front, you may hit certain things and,
No, you can see it. No. You can see it. We're not fat asses. You can see it.
Okay, but still, I'm a leaner. I'm a total leaner. You got to give the lean. Yeah. You give two and then the check.
Okay.
You know, but more importantly, it's great to get the calls in tonight, boys.
Yeah, let's do this. James Mountain, everybody.
Look, I was with him on the lean thing, but I'm telling you, if you're a big guy, if you're 250 plus and you're a leaner, be prepared. You're going through some toilet seats. It just there's no way around it.
Hello, Mr. Lee. Mr.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, geez, I was not ready for you. I just wanted to thank Big John for giving me some baseball to watch today.
Yes, wasn't that great?
It was all day long. That's what I was all over it.
Yeah. So thank you, Daniel. That was he was referring to John, whose Twitter account is great as it is.
Yeah.
But today, John did a special opening day Mariners broadcast.
Yes. So if you don't follow him, you should. He's on Instagram and Twitter. I think it's this Jay Sukanik. And yeah, he put together a Lego Mariner baseball game, and he did an inning by inning thing. We had a seventh inning stretch. You had the hydroplane races. You had the baseball hat. Three card Monty. It was a whole thing. It was really, honestly, I thought it was the best thing going today. So I encourage you to go take a look.
It was great.
Take a look.
The text line is baffled at the front wiping.
No, they're
the
not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not. You guys are just idiots. Just go try it.
And by the way, you don't
listen,
go all willy-nilly.
Here's the
it's
thing.
Not like you're just randomly
You're careful.
It's controlled.
So look, here's why it's not like stand-up wiping. When you stand up and wipe, things are like your butt's not spread.
Right, the pressing.
Like, that is no good. That is no good at
You're
all.
You're making a sandwich.
There is nothing good that comes of that.
Yeah.
So you have to stay seated to wipe so that you can spread and
here's the
release.
Thing. I'm not comparing stand-up wiping the act.
You just did.
Stop. I'm not comparing stand-up wiping the act to the act of front wiping. I'm comparing the strangeness of it to stand-up wiping.
Well, some people may think it's strange. That I agree with. But it's not, I mean, it's... If you don't do it, it's going to be unusual for you. But I'm telling you, it is the way to go. You don't have to reach all the way back there, which can sometimes strain a back muscle. And then,
look, I'm here to tell you.
And then what you do is you do
both.
And then you do front to back.
Yeah. I mean, I've done both. I know what's happening.
Or sometimes you can go side.
So you have to like continue scooping, like because you go in from the front, and then you go front to back.
Yeah.
So but you gotta make sure your arm is like.
Well, no,
under
no,
you.
It's not. You just gotta pull it down and out. And when you pull it down, you can see it, and then you can drop it.
I think you guys are insane.
Yeah, this is one of those. This is it's polarizing a lot of people right now.
Yeah.
Dividing our audience.
All right, you're on the air. You're our final caller. Make it good.
Hey, been listening to you guys a long time, Tony Meyer.
Tony,
I want to know, with times being tough with the virus, when are we going to find out how much Sook's bag really costs?
You know, that's a great question. Great question, Tony. Just tell us.
How
look,
much
everybody.
A man's bag costs is his own damn business. It's not going to happen. How much does your bag cost?
So it was over $1,000.
It was good to not.
Know. Tony's right. These
it
are the times.
Not.
These are the times where you reveal the price.
No.
This is a special
it
time.
It's not the time.
Everybody's nervous. They're anxious. They need some info like this.
Sook, we just did Cannon and Manfield yeah. for the first time in like 3 years.
We took calls. We took calls, bro, and it didn't go off the rails.
No, it did not.
Because Mr. Anonymous actually gave us a good start to the calls.
250-1080.
No more.
No more. That was a good five right there.
It's not happening.
Quit while we're ahead.
It's not happening. What
just
a man pays for his bag is his own business. It's no one else's business.
Do you think his $1,000 bag is code for like a scrotum reinvigoration or something?
It was not $1,000.
What?
He got a new bag.
I'll tell you that right now. It was not $1,000. It was not anywhere near.
So you're not going to oblige Tony, who's been listening to us a long time. He's you know, he's out there. He's struggling. He's like, a lot of people they want to know that this is the question they want the answer to.
It keeps going like this. My bag's going to be for sale. I'll cut him a deal. I'll cut someone a sweet deal. I'll tell you right now, I'm not buying another one. And this is the second one because the first bag I had was a Colonel Littleton bag. And that one got stolen. And so this is a Filson. And I will say that this one, it was more expensive than the Colonel Littleton bag.
The bag is part of the show and in the public domain. The cost must
be
revealed.
Wait a minute. I have some news here.
What do you got?
What do you have?
RJ and Warren is in.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I was there the night Sook bought the bag.
Yeah, that was it.
Really?
Yeah.
He said you guys were all at the Blitz?
Oh, that's right.
We weren't at the
Blitz.
Because
you left and then
Bricks.
Came back with it, right?
It was at Bricks. I got the story of the bag goes as follows. I had a Colonel Littleton leather bag that I loved, and my car got broken into, and it got stolen. And so we were doing one of our shows out at Bricks Tavern.
RJ, by the way, says he recalls the cost being quite shocking, but he does not remember the specific price.
Oh,
fascinating.
We were at Bricks Tavern, and I got there early, and the Filson store is right across from Bricks, and I love Filson stuff, so I wandered on in there, and I was looking at some stuff, and the salesperson mentioned that they had this leather bag, and I said, ooh, I've seen that online.
Ooh.
I said, but it's a bit spendy.
Ooh.
And one of the guys there listens to the show. Mm-hmm. Likes the show, and he offered me an employee discount on said bag. And and next thing I know, I was like, oh my God, I'm walking out of there with the bag. And I was just going to put it in my car, but
what
we're going to.
Great sales pitch, by the way.
It did. It got me. And it was probably just, you know.
You want this $1,500 bag for $1,000? Here you go.
It was not $1,000. And I didn't want to leave it in the car. So I was like, that's just my luck. I just bought this stupid thing. I'm going to put it in the car. And then sure enough, I'm going to walk in. We're going to do our show and someone will break in and steal it. So I brought it in with me and it was in the bag. And one of our stupid salespeople went rummaging through it during one of the breaks, saw the price tag on it, which is what I did not pay. And he's the one that started this whole thing and started giving me crap for it.
Aha. Uh-huh. Who is that?
It might have been Ludwig. It might have been Kurt.
It sounds like a Kurt.
Yeah. He went rummaging through a bag that he didn't have any business rummaging through and saw the tag on it.
Well, I'm going to reach out to Kurt and see what the price tag was.
And he ratted me out. But that's the point.
Was Johnny Ludes still here? Because that could have been a Johnny Ludes, too.
You can find the bag online, but that's not what I paid for it.
So what kind of discount did you get?
I got a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Why will you not reveal this? This is weird.
What a man pays for his leather bag.
You just told
us
how you wipe your ass, and you won't tell us how much a damn bag cost?
It's no one's business. It's no one's business what my leather bag costs.
He's really embarrassed about the bag, I feel like. I don't know why.
I'm not embarrassed. He seems
because he wants to be an everyman, but he's not. He's a rich bastard who lives high on the hill.
I love my leather bag. I have the worst house of anyone on this program.
That you do.
Yes.
Actually, no, you don't. Not anymore. You should see mine. Right now, it's it's being remodeled. It's
just saying, not all of us live good. High on the hog.
Well, it's really Mike.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was fun, guys. That's us taking calls. That's what happens when we take calls. And I feel like Mr. Anonymous. I feel like you're only as good as your first call.
Yeah.
And the first call was pretty good.
Sure. It did not, that wasn't nearly.
Set up the whole segment.
That wasn't nearly the disaster that.
See, that's what you got to do. Here's the key to calling into a radio show. One, remember, it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's always about us. Two.
Spit it out.
Get it. Just spit it out. No. Hey, how you doing? What do you guys. What? I can't hear you. That's the fastest way for us to hang up on you. You just get on, spit it out.
Get off.
And get the hell out of here. That's how you call in.
There you go.
And have a good question or a good comment. That's yes. it. And don't make it long.
And by the way, the key to That's any it. Sort of wiping is after you're done, you got to have a wet wipe. You got to have a flushable. So just throwing that one out there as well.
Suk believes his front wiping advocacy is a public service. His bag is private, damn it.
You're correct. You are correct on that. It's ridiculous that it ever got out in the first place.
He keeps saying it was not $1,000 because it was more and is twisting his words to trick us all.
All right. What is next?
Suk, known wordsmith, now silent.
It's just inaccurate. It was not $1,000. It wasn't.
All right. We'll be right back. Now the hot new conspiracy theory amongst the listeners about your bag is that it costs more than $1,000. So you're saying it was not $1,000.
It was not $1,000.
Have we even thought about the idea that it was $2,000?
Wasn't $2,000.
Anything's possible.
Anything is possible!
Just saying there's a lot of concern about
that was
my,
Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, a lot of concern about my bag. That's all I know.
Yeah, we are concerned about your bag.
It is hilarious, though, because almost every time I've taken a trip, someone, you know, whether at the airport or on the way back or whatever, someone listens to the show, and inevitably, they always make a comment about the bag.
It's a very famous bag.
Yeah. Quite possibly is, do I have the most famous bag in the Pacific Northwest?
Maybe.
My bag. You know what I'm known for? My bag. That's word on the street. And I do feel good when I get compliments on the bag. Like when, guy at a hotel or whatever, I've had people like, hey, that's a nice bag. I'm like, you're GD right it is.
Wait,
it
you're
shaves,
saying...
It shaves a couple of dollars off the price in your head every time you get a compliment.
Look, I will admit there may have been some buyer's remorse after it, but what's done is done. And I will say I love that bag. Every time I take it out, it makes me happy.
So let's say you've gotten, 10 compliments on the bag? Each compliment's $10. You're just like...
Yeah. Shave a little bit off,
Yeah, you're
man.
Now $100 cheaper. It's a $900 bag now.
I love that bag. It's been all around the world with me, and I love it.
You're saying you get compliments from guys at hotels on your bag?
Yes. Yes, I do. You were there once.
How do you find a male hooker?
Talk
That's
about
how you
bag.
Find it.
We were at a hotel checking in for the Pac-12 Media Day, and our room wasn't ready yet, and was that the porter or whatever that guy's called? We handed it to the guy to hold it, and he looked at it, and he said, now that's
a nice
bag.
He did. I can confirm that.
Yep.
And I'll pull it out for you here.
And I beamed. And you know what? Get this. That's a man that handles bags professionally.
The music behind that clip makes it.
That man handles bags.
He's
for
a bag
a
handler.
He's a
yeah.
bag handler.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he recognized the greatness of my bag. So, that's worth like $50 right there.
Okay. I have audio. You want some audio?
Yes.
Where is that guy?
It's right
this
there.
One?
I put the mouse over it just for you.
Yeah, so this is a bro named Brent, and he's on Twitter.
Okay.
And this is great for a couple of reasons. One, it's pretty funny. And two, people are taking it seriously.
Is clearly not.
This is him. He's joking. Okay, he's doing a satirical bit.
Okay.
As people tend to do.
And a stunning turn
development,
of events.
Yes. People, they don't get it.
Yeah.
So he is retweeting when people don't get what he's doing and they think he's serious, he's retweeting their replies to him, and it's great.
Okay.
But here is the video that he posted, and he is he's a big old country bumpkin looking dude, big red beard, sitting in his car, and he's got like 8,000 rolls of paper towels and toilet paper behind him in his back seat.
He's holding a beer.
Oh, yeah, he's holding a beer.
Wearing a Make America Great Again
hat. A koozie, yeah, and he's got his MAGA hat on.
All right.
Well, I seen on Fox News, my president and still your president, Donald J. Trump, wants to have our country up and running from this Crayola virus by Easter. And you can't tell by my words and actions, but I'm a Christian. I think it's great that just like Jesus himself, our country is going to rise from the dead on Easter Sunday. And I can hear you snowflakes and soy boys now. Isn't that too soon to have the country up and running? Isn't that dangerous to the elderly? Well, the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, and still your Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, said all these elderly and grandparents wouldn't mind sacrificing themselves so their kids and their grandkids can grow up in an economy that's good. And it's a small price to pay to have to put your grandma down to get these Waffle Houses back up and running. And I'm pro-life. I'm pro getting back to life. I'm not so much pro your grandma's life, but I'm pro getting back to life. And I love my grandma. And my granddad, I miss you every day, Pop-Pop. But I love my grandma. And she doesn't live through one Great Depression. I'd hate for her to have to live through another one. And what on flat earth, my damn arm's getting tired. What on flat earth is wrong with you people? Who can think of the weaker in our society at a time like this? We got an election to win. Who can show mercy and kindness at a time like this when the stock market that I can't afford to invest in needs to get back up and running? We need to stop thinking about all these old folks and start thinking about these billionaires. I mean children. So today I'm raising my emotional support beer to getting this country up and running by Easter. I'm ready. I got my Easter eggs already out. I got a Lysol egg. I got some hand sanitizer eggs. I got some toilet paper and one of them eggs. And as always, f*** the NFL and go Coats.
So his name is Brent. If you want to find him, he's funny. He's got a lot of videos.
That is really funny.
His name is Brent Terhune, T-E-R-H-U-N-E. One of the ones he posted today was he wants to defund the Special Olympics.
I think they've already done that themselves.
And I tell you what. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
Sorry, it has low
goodness.
Hanging. It has low hanging fruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pick up a paper sometime. Better now, though.
Anyway, people are getting after him about that.
Of course,
because people don't understand. Like, people, it's just not over the top enough. Well, that's what's funny about it is that the satire is hard to delineate from the actual thing
well,
now.
That's how crazy it's gotten. There's real people out there that are like that.
Well, you hear that and you go, yeah, like that sounds right. That's where we're at. So that's his bit. It's really funny. And yeah, so check him out on Twitter.
That's well played. People are chiming in saying there's a bunch of these out there. You know,
he's got a ton of them.
Yeah, well, someone's saying look up Donnie Baker. I guess there's a bunch of people that are doing this.
I think my favorite line in the whole thing was, and you can't tell from my words and actions, but I'm a Christian.
Who's Donnie Baker?
I don't know. I like the one in there, the stock market that I can't afford to invest in.
Good times.
Yeah, we got to have something to chuckle about, right?
Yeah, it's fun. I'm going to read something to you real quick here. Saw this on Twitter, too. Imagine if 10 years ago you were approached by a time traveler and he was like, look, I don't have much time to explain. All I can tell you is that in 2020, it's going to be an S show. You know Donald Trump, the star of The Apprentice? Well, he's the president of the United States. And at the beginning of 2020, he gets into a Twitter beef with Iran that almost starts World War III. Australia catches on fire and a woman tries to save it by selling nude pictures. Kobe Bryant passes away in a helicopter crash. Half the world is devastated and the other half just makes messed up memes. A little time passes, and just when the world starts recovering from the loss of Kobe, some dude in China eats a nasty raw bat and starts a global pandemic that specifically kills mamas and pawpaws. Everyone loses their mind. 40% of the population thinks it's the end of the world. Another 40% thinks it's all fake. And 20% blames the whole thing on cell phone towers and Tom Hanks' kids. The one thing everyone seems to agree on is that the only way to survive is by hoarding toilet paper. Grocery stores are ransacked, and Charmin Ultra Soft essentially replaces the dollar as the United States' official currency. Eventually, as hysteria grows, world governments are forced to shut the entire planet down and lock everyone in their houses, and that's just the first 3 months. Seemingly, the only person that can keep the people from completely flipping out and starting a huge riot is a gun-toting, homosexual Oklahoma man with a meth addiction and 227 big-ass pet tigers. How great is that?
Holy balls.
Because it's true.
It's true. I mean, obviously, some of that is stretched a little bit, but for the most part, that's pretty accurate. Life, man.
Life. It comes at you fast.
You know what they say? There's no such thing as normal life, right? Just life. Holy jeebus.
All right, here's Mike. He's got news and stuff.
Can I get a hot tub?
So I've got Oklahoma news for you. We were talking about Oklahoma strip clubs yesterday because that was why I was driving through outside of Tulsa. They had a bring your own beer strip club. And this is back like in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. We were also talking about tigers in Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. That's how we got on that whole thing was freaking Oklahoma and probably meth at both of those places, by the way. So Oklahoma is doing the same thing as most places. They've got, unless you're an essential business, you're shut down. But there are places that are finding loopholes around that. So like Target, right? Target isn't a grocery store, but Target
has groceries.
And so Target has used the, hey, we're a grocery store, to stay open to sell you all this other crap. Same thing with like Fred Meyer. So they get deemed essential businesses, even though you're really not a grocery store. It's like 15% of Target's overall, budget, but it is part of the plan, and Target has managed to stay open and they have pharmacies. Well, a Tulsa, Oklahoma gentleman's club is trying to find a way to wiggle around that. And he's trying to do it with the restaurant thing. So he's saying that if you have a restaurant, right, you're allowed to do pickup and delivery as long as you don't have to go inside. Drive-thrus only, right? So his thing is, if you can do that for a restaurant, which he has inside, could he keep the gentleman club portion of it open if he offered drive-through dances and you didn't come inside? So he is currently trying to get this past the local government.
You might want to rephrase how you said that, by the way.
No, I know what I said, and that's what you want. So his name is Jason Gideons. He's the general manager of the Lipstick Cabaret and Landing Strip. So he's got two of these.
Landing Strip.
The Landing Strip.
I get it.
So he wants to be considered essential, an essential business because of the food service. But he wants to keep the other side of it open as well. And so this is what he's suggesting. The operation would keep social distancing in mind, and every dancer would have to be at least 6 feet away from the car.
Okay.
And so when you drive up, he wants to put in like a pickup window, and you pull up, and then there'd be like a tent that would go over the car so no one could see around it. And then you would get a 10-minute window lap dance. He said, as your girls would come in, you'd get ready. I would check their temperature anyways to protect the girls and you, to make sure everything was on the up and up, because you want to protect them from the public. You wouldn't have to leave your car. And he's claiming that this would be a safe, effective way, and it would still be part of an essential business. Because the point is, if Target can claim that they're an essential business because they have pharmacy and groceries and they consider the other stuff, why can't he be essential personnel with a restaurant but still offer strippers to you?
I'm in. I think he's right.
Yes. He's claiming that he's got up to 100 dancers employed at two clubs. They're struggling, right? And this provides them with the ability to stay open as well. Drive-through strip clubs.
You know, nothing sounds more exciting to me than sitting in my car and having a stripper 6 feet away from me dancing.
Well,
it's better than nothing.
It's tough times, Mike. It's tough times.
Just making the point.
Bad point.
Sorry.
I think this guy is an innovator.
I couldn't agree more.
Yes. By the way, the Tulsa City Council, there is a Tulsa City Councilor that is, they've been in contact with him, and this is something that they have to.
Yeah, they got to check that out.
They're talking about, and he says that this one, this, well, it's a gal, which is probably the problem. He needs to go to a male city councilman. Connie Dodson says that she admits that this is a very creative idea, and she respects that, but she thinks non-essential business concerns will ultimately stand in the way.
Non-essential business concerns?
Yeah.
But they serve food.
Right.
That's essential.
That's his point.
That's all you got to do.
So they're saying that he
What else happens?
They're saying he can stay open and serve food, but right now they're saying that you can't do the shaky shake.
All you have to do, see, that's BS. All you have to do is if you're open and you're doing to-go food,
yes.
The only other things that are required are, and Oklahoma may have written theirs a little different, but here it's just you still have to put in the social distancing practices.
Yes.
With your people.
Yeah.
That's it. So what if, so if they're 6 feet away.
Yes. Inside a tent.
In a tent. With the boobies out.
Yes.
That, it's not in there.
No.
It's not written in there that you can't do that. It's practice. It's offering an essential service, food, and it's practicing social distancing. What's the problem? That sounds like a question for our court. We'd rule on that fast.
Connie also says that there is some concern about what would be going on inside the car.
Oh.
Hey, that's Connie, not me. It's a city councilwoman, although she does bring up
a great point.
She brings up a valid point. You're inside a tent and, you know, no one can see. And
true.
Maybe that's...
That's a tough one. That's a sticking point.
You got to think hard about that.
Yeah. Not sure how all that works.
I am.
Well, that's true. Maybe 10 minutes at a time. You go into the tent for 10 minutes. You drive out the other side.
That's pretty good value because normally...
Like a car wash.
Well, 10 minutes like at a club.
Yeah.
That's a couple songs.
Sure.
2-3 songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It usually costs more. It costs some money to get back in the back. Get that, you know.
He also know says in here that he's trying to play.
Mike,
upon...
have you ever been to a strip club?
Yes.
When?
A bachelor party.
Why?
Because I wanted to.
Where?
New York City.
Ooh.
Is that your only one?
Yeah.
It's the only time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did they pull you up on stage?
No, they didn't.
Why?
But don't know.
They're supposed to.
We had one of the girls who was like protecting us from like the bad strippers, and I got so drunk, but I got a lot of dances.
Did you?
Oh yeah.
And your buddies paid for them all?
Yes.
As they should.
Yep.
All right.
It was a quite right. good strip club.
What's your finest memory from that evening?
Hmm.
I'm kind of shocked that he's only been to one in his entire life.
I'm not.
Yeah, you shouldn't be shocked.
That's on brand for Mike.
Still. I know when we get out of this, I know what we're doing. Taking Mike out on the town. El Diablo, here we come.
One memory I had was that one of the strippers actually liked me and just like cuddled with me for like an hour after that and talked to me. I was like, what is happening here? But I was really drunk, so I don't remember.
Mike cuddled?
She didn't actually like you, Mike.
Well, she was there for a long time.
I hate to break it to you.
Mike's that guy. I think she
really... she really's into me.
Everyone has that one friend, right? When you leave, he's like,
No, yeah.
Yeah, she really...
I tell you what. Listen. I have seen it. This is a long time ago, but I have a buddy.
That's... Yeah, he's got where you're going.
Dude, he goes in there to these places, and things happen that I could never, ever do.
That's the other one. Is that everyone knows the guy that thinks that they all like him, and we all know the guy where
they do. They do. And it's unbelievable.
Yep.
Some of his tales. And that's all I can say.
Yeah. I know. It's the...
So you have a friend like that too?
I think everyone knows someone that for whatever reason has some sort of weird... it's a pheromone thing or whatever, but yeah, they just go in and it works. It's like Beethoven, right? He just looked down at the piano, and without any effort, he could just play.
It's like
that man stage. He just walks in, and it works.
That's right.
It's a very special type of charisma.
Yes.
It's a pheromones thing.
Either that, or you just know the guy that's really rich, and that works too. But
that's not what I'm talking about.
The guy you're talking about, it's not a money thing.
One of my buddies who went with me.
And it works.
One of my buddies who was there, he kind of was like that.
All right. Great story, Mike.
Thanks.
Let's get out of here. We need a big, long, juicy segment with your brother to break down today's big game on Twitter.
And his wife being on all fours behind the couch.
Yeah. Post-game show is next. 6:43 on The Fan.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6'6" and weighed 245, kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. And everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John. Big Bad John.
Okay, here's Sean. You, Big sir. John
called home, he just drifted into town.
You, sir, John.
Yes.
Magical day for you. You win Twitter today.
It was pretty fun. I'm not going to lie. We had a good time with it.
That was wonderful.
Did you enjoy it?
I didn't see all of it. I'm going to have to go back and, I mean, I assume I can go back and scroll through tonight.
Yes, you can. It's on Instagram, too. Both my wife and mine's Instagram posts, and then I tweeted it.
Yeah, okay, so I'm gonna go back and watch it all on Twitter. But I caught some of it as I was, going about my day, and I just think that was wonderful. That is the kind of content that people follow John Secanic for. Now, for those that have not heard it, or heard what you did, go ahead and describe what you did today.
Well, so as you well know, this was supposed to be opening day. And I had tickets to go up. It was going to be like my 15th opening day in a row. And I'm always at the opener. It's a great day for all baseball fans. You know that. And we got it taken away from us this year from the virus. And so with no opening day, about a week ago, I was bemoaning the fact that my streak would end and I wasn't going to get to go to the ballpark. And my wife actually sort of came up with the idea. She said, we should do something like on Twitter or Instagram for like opening day. And we were kind of brainstorming stuff. And I said, I actually have a Lego baseball field with all the Mariners. I said, we should do some kind of opening day where we, tweet out each inning, something happens. And she loved it and thought it was great. And we spent a few days kind of working on it. And we came up with 9 innings of just being silly with Mariner Legos today.
And it was great.
And she was on all fours behind
the
couch.
Truly great. Yeah, did you hear that?
I saw the tweet, and I laughed immediately, but I have not heard it live yet. I'm going to go back and listen to the podcast.
No, here you go. Hold
My brother right. has his wife on all fours behind the couch.
Oh, I think that's great. Heather's right here shaking her head. I don't know that she appreciates it, but it'll go on her.
Well, it's true. I mean, what about that is an inaccurate statement? You did.
No, that was completely true. Yes, that was completely true. She was on all fours behind the couch.
You know what I loved about your bit today, too, was you did all of the between inning contests that they usually do, like the ball in the hat and guess where it stops, you did all of those things, and it was wonderful.
Yes, thank you. That was so much fun. We actually, like I came up with the idea to do the hat trick where the ball's hidden, and Heather came up with the idea to do the hydroplane race, and we kind of put it together, and those were the innings that got the biggest, like, the last time I looked, the hydroplane race has been looked at like 3,500 times, and so, which is silly, but it was so much fun to do, and we spent all day laughing at it. People were making comments, and I had all kinds of people like tweeting me like red and green. Oh, I'm picking yellow. And even like Root Sports tweeted me today saying that they appreciated it. The great Angie Mentick, who does the reporting for the Mariners, tweeted me today, and she's like, gosh, I was depressed with no baseball today, and this really made my day, so thank you. And the Mariners actually tweeted me and said, thank you for your support. We'll be back soon. And so it was really kind of fun and turned into kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
4.3K views now on that video.
You are a
4.3K.
He's gotten viral.
Oh my god! But
you're famous.
Let's not point out the fact that you were supposed to be working.
How do you know I wasn't?
Oh, I think I've got a good idea that you weren't. I'm just saying, my tax dollars right now are paying your salary, and you're at home doing this.
Actually, to be totally honest, to be totally transparent, it took several days of kind of storyboarding and filming and everything. So we had them all ready to go ahead of time today, and we just released them one on the hour every hour. So we had them all done and in the can, as they say, last night. So I really didn't waste that much taxpayer time today.
Just wasted a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit. So it was totally fun. It was super cool to do, and it kind of became a big deal, and all the people tweeting in that were kind of following along with us. I had friends saying that their kids were following along like it was a real baseball game, and they thought it was hilarious, and kids were dragging out their Legos and doing baseball stuff. And so it kind of started out as just a silly idea with my wife and I, and we were both kind of tickled by how big a deal it became.
Well, nice work. We're proud of you. Now,
I appreciate that.
Now, think about this. So you do this great thing and everybody loves it, and you're now a big social media influencer. Now you have to do that again tomorrow, yeah, and again the next day, and again the next. Like, you think about these people that you know, like the Rex Chapman Twitter feed, or sure, like all these right, Twitter feeds that are great, like all the time. You think how right, hard that is. Like, that's a full time yep, job to come up with bits like that every day.
Big time. In fact, my wife, like, we got kind of caught up in it, and it became a big deal. And my wife was like, towards the end of the ninth inning, she was like, hurry, let's put together like a post game show. And I said, look, wise words, you know, pigs get fed, hogs get slaughtered. So you got to leave them wanting a little bit more. The fact that people are wanting a little bit more means it's a good time to be done. So I didn't want to overdo it with too much content.
I saw a thing that was on Netflix a while back, and it was on like social media influencers. And a lot of those people, like some of the big ones at the early kind of a handful of years ago when like it really started to blow up and this became a thing, a lot of them ended up having like nervous breakdowns for sure, like what you were talking about. Like they couldn't,
sure,
the idea of coming up with content. And then let's be honest, like when you've got like a couple million followers, the comments aren't always so nice.
No.
You've kind of felt, I mean, they're all kind of douchey, but there was a point during that where you do kind of feel bad for them.
Sure. And it is weird. And you guys have a much stronger, I know you guys don't tweet as much as you used to, but you guys have many more followers than I do, and a much stronger Twitter presence. So it maybe even, but we got kind of caught up in that. Like we would post something that we thought was funny, and it would get like 30 likes, and we'd be like, wow, man, maybe people didn't like that one. And then you'd start, oh, maybe we should have done this and this. And then you post something else that, you know, we were like, oh, that's not that great, and people loved it. So you really can't get caught up in what's going on out there, because it can overwhelm you.
It's easy to, for sure.
Would be stressful.
Well, you hear about the stories about the kids who, like, teenagers will post a video or post something on Instagram, like teenage girls, you know, it's like they just sit and watch.
Yep.
And if it doesn't get enough
they
likes, they redo it or they delete it or they freak out. It's just,
well, it's like social currency.
That
it's
is
like
no good.
Your self-esteem is built around that. And they've done different studies about like the rise of depression and kind of especially like in teenagers to go along with social media and. It's a whole thing, man. That is the new. Sure. That's the new. That's the new currency for kids.
John, I'm gonna allow you to take tomorrow off of Twitter if you want.
And then you got to come back.
And then you got to come bring it and be even better on the weekend.
I will see what I can do, but no promises. But look, my whole Twitter foundation is built on Mariner angst.
Yes.
I just complain about baseball, so. If you follow me on Twitter, that's what you're going to get most of the time. These little things are just, they're just shooting stars.
You always have, here's another thing about your Twitter feed that's great, and it really is, see, you stay on brand. It really is most always about Mariner angst, which is great because that's what people want out of it. I love, so like there's always people that are fans of a team that don't want anything negative in their timelines, right? They want the rah-rah BS, you know, like Blazer Twitter or whatever. But if I'm a Mariners fan, you are the type of accounts that I want to follow. Like
sure.
we wallow together and quite cleverly, you know?
I am not going to try to tell you that Dan Altavilla is good. He is hideous.
That's right.
And I will tell him that.
Come on, Mariners. Let's hit a home run here.
That's the problem,
yay!
Is, though, with the Mariners now knowing who you are, and they're like, oh, that's great. Thanks for
supporting
us.
They're going to follow
you. They should really scroll down.
Yeah, they should. They so should. Ah, good times.
I better go scrub my history here before the Mariners try to offer me a job.
Hey, never change, okay?
Yeah.
Stay
I'll
true.
I never will.
Stay true. That was great. All right. See you later. Have a good, night or whatever.
night or whatever.
Andrew Nemec is not in tonight.
No?
He has the COVID.
Oh, crap.
I don't know what his deal is, but he's not here.
He's quarantining.
Oh, he doesn't want to come in?
No, I think there was something like a family member may have been with someone who had it or something.
Oh, okay. Oh, so he's staying.
His father, brother's cousin's former roommate.
Out of respect to us, although... Yes. He usually sits over here.
Yep. You're done.
Crap. Up next is ESPN Radio. Enjoy that. And we're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red Chips of Spain. Red Chips of Spain.
My brother has his wife on all fours behind the couch.
You are?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.